You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer-powered,
listener-supported,
community radio for South Central Indiana.
Good afternoon. Reporting for WFHB, this is Brandon Blewett.
And I'm Noelle Herhusky-Schneider. This is the WFHB local news for Monday, March 11th, 2024.
Later in the program, local journalist Dave Askins of the B-Square Bulletin has his weekly segment on the WFHB local news. More in today's feature report.
There are a lot of traditions within Girl Scouting that make them not as relevant to a lot of girls in today's world. And there are a lot of girls, particularly low-income communities and black and brown girls, that are traditionally left behind by Girl Scouting communities.
That's Cassidy McCammon from Girl Coalition of Indiana, an innovation incubator trying to make Girl Scouts more inclusive. Hear more later in the show on a new episode of Activate. But first, your daily headlines.
At the Bloomington City Council meeting on March 6th, Councilmember Andy Ruff introduced a resolution to oppose the LEAP pipeline water diversion project.
Very briefly, what is LEAP? It's a massive, largely speculative economic development project, sort of spearheaded by the Indiana Economic Development Corporation and being planned and developed in relative secrecy. I think that's generally accepted as kind of as an issue in and of itself, but with the hope of attracting some large, really water-intensive industries to a location in Boone County that's 9 to 10,000 acres, I believe that they're referring to as the LEAP District, LEAP Innovation District, but that doesn't have access to anywhere near the amount of water that the massive development in these water-intensive industries would need. Now, I will note as an aside that Eli Lilly, already has a part of the area and facilities going up there, and that has an associated water plan with the Lilly development that's not part of the LEAP pipeline that this resolution tonight primarily deals with. But just this past summer, it became public that a plan was being developed to divert and pipe up to 100 million gallons per day from aquifers in Tippecanoe County. And it immediately reminded me of the serious proposal around 20 years ago. I'm not sure exactly how many years ago, but around 20, I believe, to pipe a similar large amount of water from Lake Monroe here in Monroe County, 60 miles north to the Indianapolis area. And unbeknownst to me, when I first approached council staff about doing a resolution along these lines, I found that former Councilmember Volan had started a similar initiative about this project last fall, but the term just ran out of time. We're unable to complete and either bring forward a resolution or a letter addressed to state agencies and the governor. And it reminded me immediately of that, and it prompted me to contact some folks in the affected areas and hear their experience and share ours. Though I do think the LEAP proposal is significantly more problematic because aquifer sources of water make it much harder to assess the potential impacts on communities and farms and counties because it's underground and you can't really see how the effects how much you actually have there, how the water moves, how the hydrology is, and what the impacts are going to be, as opposed to just calculating what you're going to take out of a lake. But it is extremely relevant to Bloomington, as the story of Bloomington and IU has been a story of water supply limitation. I think former councilmember Volan will have a few words to say about that soon. But the purpose of the resolution is to help educate and inform our own community, to show solidarity with our fellow Hoosier communities that are grappling with shared concerns about essential public resources that really need to be thoughtfully managed and protected rather than aggressively exploited.
West Lafayette Council Member at Large David Sanders spoke to the council about the history of the project.
I just want to give a little history. In the beginning in the spring of last year was the first time I had learned about this project. I spoke with a number of people what is it that we can do to protect our own resources? And I was told that there was really no role for city government in this. It was all going to be decided at the state level, and there was really nothing in which we could engage in order to stop it. So I accepted that answer for a while. But as I learned more and more about the project, the lack of accountability, the lack of planning, the vast cost of the project, and the potential deleterious economic and environmental effects on Tippecanoe County, I thought, no, I think that there is a role. And it's important for someone to speak out directly in opposition. Now, a number of the local politicians had asked for additional studies, had expressed their concerns. Some of them had even mentioned, you know, their opposition. But I thought it was important to have a firm opposition. I mentioned that in my remarks at one particular city council meeting. And all of a sudden, I was receiving 5 or 6 emails every single day or phone calls. What can I do? How can we oppose this? What action can we take? And I suggested the standard things, you know, contact your state legislators, become more informed about the issues. But as it continues, I thought, no, I think it's important for the council as a whole to make a statement. So I created a resolution. I was able to find somebody else to be a co-sponsor. It passed unanimously. I'll mention that that didn't stop the emails and the phone calls. In fact, they accelerated. More people wanted to know what to do. And just as an aside, I will mention that because of that response, I wound up founding an organization called Stop the Water Steal. That was the name voted on by the assembly to try to have an actual continuing organization to oppose this diversion of water. And we are talking about up to 100 million gallons a day. And we are talking about diversion not for human purposes, but for corporate purposes.
Sanders said that similar resolutions to the one the council is hearing tonight to oppose the pipeline have been passed by 20 local governments.
This is not a partisan issue. This has united people in Tippecanoe County and the region in a way that no other comparable issue has in decades. And it is not just our resolution. This resolution has been passed, a version of this resolution, in 20 different local governments currently, because people understand that it isn't just an issue of the water resources in the aquifers that are in Tippecanoe County. This is an issue that affects all of us. Anyone with a water resource is potentially at risk if we don't take action now. So I would ask for your support for this resolution, and I'm willing later on to take any questions that you have. Thanks a lot.
Former council member Steve Vallon spoke to the council about Monroe County's experience with water pipelines that the city of Bloomington opposed back in 2006.
So in 2006, which was my first term on council, when former city county councilor Bert Servaas was proposing a development in the community of Geist to bring water from Lake Monroe, a 60-mile trip, they were proposing to use 90 million gallons a day. The city of Bloomington itself has the capacity to process 25 million gallons a day. And at the time of this, it was using maybe 15. Nevertheless, it was an existential concern for the city that this might happen. I'd also note that Herald Times reporting at the time noted that the second reason they were claiming they wanted the water was to provide drought relief for Indianapolis. I think it was incumbent upon the state to make better choices about water rather than putting it on the community of Bloomington, which by now was utterly dependent on this source of water. So with that, I would say that, I mean, we immediately responded, the entire community responded. Mayor Cruzan, of course, opposed it. But it wasn't until then Governor Daniels openly and publicly frowned upon the idea that the idea was scotched, although former council member Sir Voss claimed that he was not the one who pulled the plug on the proposal. So it wasn't denied. The developer did not withdraw willingly. It is pretty clear that the IEDC is proposing something in the same way that this was proposed. There aren't sufficient water resources in Boone County to do what they want to do there, which is water intensive. They either need to move the LEAP district to a place that has sufficient water. I'm sure that we would be willing to consider it, considering that Enhanced Semiconductor is coming here, partly because there is water supply. I'm sure that the mayor of Attica, the mayors of Lafayette or West Lafayette, would be delighted if they were to form the LEAP district there. But the simple fact is that until the state of Indiana has a reliable water plan, we're all potentially going to be fighting our fellow Indiana communities over water. Just the sheer carbon footprint that would be created by moving the water 60 miles, which is the same length, by the way, that they proposed to move water from here to Geist. They're proposing a 60-mile pipeline from the Wabash River, so it's not like they're even close to the Wabash. I think that this is an existential matter for this. This was an existential matter for the city of Bloomington. It is an existential matter for anyone who lives along the Wabash River, and it would be remiss of us to not contribute this knowledge and to chime in the same way. I wish I could have authored this resolution in December. I'm grateful to Councilmember Ruff for inviting me to say a few words about it tonight.
Mayor Kerry Thompson asked the council to table the resolution until the water study on the impact of the pipeline can be completed.
For a number of reasons, I would ask council to table this resolution until at least the time that study is complete and we know if the pipeline is even planned. The LEAP District is, in fact, not a secret. It's been quite public, and in fact, it has been a strategic project of the state that has successfully attracted businesses to the district, in many ways, a groundbreaking economic development district. It will impact wages and job growth in Indiana and indeed set a precedent for how we can do economic development even here in Bloomington. Of course, we are concerned about water sources, and if the council is to move forward with some type of resolution, I would ask that you consider that resolution to be one that is urging a comprehensive water plan for a state rather than simply opposing a pipeline.
Ruff motioned to table the resolution until council members have more time to learn about the pipeline. The council voted 8-1 to postpone the vote until the next Bloomington City Council meeting, which will be held on March 27th.
Up next, we turn to local journalist Dave Askins of the B Square Bulletin for his weekly segment on the WFHB local news.
The B Square Bulletin sends out an emailed morning bulletin every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can sign up for the morning bulletin by visiting bsquarebulletin.com and clicking on the tab labeled Subscribe. Here's an item from a recent installment. Honest Hans, one of the Democratic Party's nominees in the 2022 race for Benton Township Board, was Hans Kelsen. He placed fourth by a margin of just 3 votes, which meant he did not win one of the 3 seats. Here's the thing about campaign finance paperwork. If the campaign's committee has not been officially closed out, then the paperwork for annual reports still has to be filed. Kelson knew that, but for the filing that was due on January 17th, he was a little bit late. That's why he was invited to Thursday's meeting of Monroe County's Election Board, which he attended by video conference. Monroe County Election Supervisor Kylie Moreland briefed the board about Kelson's circumstances. She told them, quote, his filing deadline was on January 17th. He had filed on January 17th at 12:13, making him 13 minutes late for filing. The maximum fine allowed under state election law is $50 a day, up to a maximum of $1,000. Election Board Chair John Fernandez asked, is that a first-time event? Moreland's answer, yes, it is. The answer to Fernandez's question matters, because under the board's policy for handing out punishment, no fine is imposed for a first-time offense. Here's the thing. I knew it was not a first-time offense for Kelson because I covered the election board meeting last year when Kelson was fined $75 because of his third late submission of a campaign finance report. It's not surprising that the institutional memory of the election division is not perfect, given the amount of turnover among election staff over the last year. Based on the facts, Kelson should have been facing a $50 fine. There were some problems with the audio feed for Kelson's participation in Thursday's meeting, and it seemed like he would not get a chance to say anything. So Fernandez said, quote, I don't want to preempt your opportunity to address us, but if I understand the facts right, this was a near miss on the filing deadline. It's a first-time omission. I'm assuming that my colleagues are going to want to just do a warning. Is that a fair assumption? Would one of my colleagues like to make a motion? But by then, Kelson's audio feed had been restored, and I think it's fair to say Kelson rose to the occasion. Here's what he said, quote, in the spirit of full honesty, I will just say that the facts you have are incorrect, and this is not the first time that I have been late with this filing. Now, if you want to go with the information that you had, that would be fine with me, but I'm honor-bound to state that. Because he was just 13 minutes tardy and Kelson had been forthright about correcting the information about his past infractions, the board let him off with a warning. Until next week, this has been Dave Askins with the B-Square Bulletin for WFHB.
Cassidy McCammon thinks Girl Scouts could be more inclusive and more relevant to girls in the modern age, especially Black and brown girls and those from low-income families. Girl Coalition of Indiana is an innovation incubator for the 6 Girl Scout councils across the state, test piloting new programs and partnerships to engage those girls. Cassidy McCammon is our guest this week on a new episode of Activate, coming your way right now on the WFHB Local News.
Welcome to Activate, featuring real people working for positive change in our community, encouraging you to get involved, live your passion, and make a difference.
Hi, my name is Cassidy McCammon, and I'm with the Girl Coalition of Indiana. The Girl Coalition of Indiana is a social innovation startup backed by Girl Scouts to create new experiences for girls that may have not participated in Girl Scouts in the past. So there are 6 Girl Scout councils within Indiana who operate very differently. And they came together to form the Girl Coalition because they recognized that there are a lot of traditions within Girl Scouting that make them not as relevant to a lot of girls in today's world. And there are a lot of girls, particularly low-income communities and Black and brown girls, that are traditionally left behind by Girl Scouting communities. And so Girl Coalition was created to develop new ways to reach those girls and create experiences that are really valuable to those girls who haven't necessarily been invited into Girl Scouts in the past. Underneath the umbrella is a good way to put it. We get our funding from Girl Scouts. We are we call it an innovation incubator. We are rapidly testing new programs that when they show success, those programs will be integrated back into Girl Scouts. So we are Girl Scouts, we're just a new way of Girl Scouts. So this approach is twofold. Firstly, we are seeing how can we as Girl Coalition and by extension Girl Scouts get our house in order to welcome these new girls. And then we also do a lot of community outreach that relies on the strengths and opportunities that already exist within the community. We are not experts. And so I work closely with a lot of organizations around the community to say, what are the opportunities that you have and how can I further support reaching your population? And hear directly from girls and families about what we can do to create a better Indiana for all girls. We just did a workshop with Girls Inc. where we did mindfulness exercises with girls through art. And so that was really neat to talk about handling these big emotions in a productive way. I was a Girl Scout growing up. So this is really a direct way for me to pay that forward to a new generation of young girls. And for me, Girl Scouts changed my life. I was a very shy young kid. I would not look adults directly in the eye. I would, you know, talk to my mom who would talk to the adults. I really learned that through Girl Scouts, I have a voice and that voice matters. And building the next generation of young leaders is my life mission at this point. We are building a true coalition. So I'm very interested in talking to community members about their experiences and how they can use their skills and talents to further this goal. Whether you are a pre-existing service provider, let's see how we can collaborate and reach a larger audience of girls. If you are a parent, let's connect and see how we can further support you in your journey of raising a young woman. I think that there is an opportunity for anyone to get involved as long as they have a connection to the girl experience and really discovering how you can use your unique skills and talents to change the world around us is what Girl Co is all about. If you are interested in leading a group of girls in a formal capacity, we are absolutely looking for a range of options, whether it's one-time event to leading a troop of girls full-time. So if you're interested, you could visit our website for more information. That's girlcoalitionofindiana.org. I'd also like to mention the Indiana Girl Report. It is the first ever statewide data report focused on girls. How are girls doing today, physically, academically, socially, and emotionally? You can also find that on our website. If you're interested in getting involved or learning more about Girl Coalition, you can visit our website at girlcoalitionindiana.org. That's girlcoalitionindiana.org. Thank you for listening. This was Cassidy McCammon from the Girl Coalition of Indiana, where we're building equitable communities to create an Indiana for all girls.
You've been listening to Activate, true stories from friends and neighbors who stand up for what they believe in. Activate is a partnership between WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build a strong, healthy, and engaged community. With production support from students in the media school at Indiana University. You can learn more about volunteer opportunities in the WFHB listening area online at bloomingtonvolunteernetwork.org. That's bloomingtonvolunteernetwork.org.
Support for WFHB Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. More information online at mpisolarenergy.com.
You've been listening to the WFHB Local News. Today's headlines were written by Noelle Herhusky Snyder in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Dave Askins.
Activate is produced by Chad Carruthers and Michelle Moss. Our theme music is provided by Mark Bingham and the Social Climbers. Engineer and executive producer is Cade Young. For WFHB, I'm Noelle Herhusky Snyder.
And I'm Brandon Blewett. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast online at WFHB.org.
The WFHB Local News is also available as a podcast. Just search our call letters WFHB wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe to never miss another local news program.
WFHB Local News on WFHB Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news at WFHB.org. You can become a WFHB Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. Feel free to check out the WFHB Local News Archive at WFHB.org to find newscasts, individual stories, and catch a live feed of the WFHB Local News. We are local, longer,